You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, along with Adam Abdallah. We're filling in for Waddle and Sylvie tonight here on ESPN 1000. We usually produce Waddle and Sylvie. We also host Black and Abdallah weeknights from 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. So we're with you today, hanging out till 6. You can watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Abdallah, every Friday night at 6 o'clock when we start the show, we always tell all of our great listeners that it's our favorite time of the week on Black and Abdallah, because we turn Friday nights on Black and Abdallah into all calls welcome. Friday night calls, 312-332-3776. Whatever you want to ask, whatever you want to talk about, we talk about it with you, and we have a great time. It's what we do. It's our Friday traditions. And since we're here a little bit earlier today with Waddle and Sylvie, why not turn the 5 o'clock hour into all calls welcome Friday night calls with Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today?
Absolutely. Call us up, 312-332-3776. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to do, you need us to talk about. So you're debating between what you should buy for someone for the holiday. You're doing your holiday shopping. It's Black Friday, also known as Black Friday. Now 20% off as we get closer to closing time.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of time left to get Black supplies.
So college football, 20% off. Bears, whatever you guys want to talk about. Dial us up, 312-332-3776. I imagine it'll be mostly Bears related, as people are, whether they're angry or happy or angry happy.
Well, we talked a lot of Bears today. Yeah. The Bears win yesterday 16-14. They go to 4-7 on the season. The lines are now 0-10-1. Andy Dalton went 24 of 39, 317 yards, first 300-yard game for a Bears quarterback this season. He threw for one touchdown, one interception. He was sacked once. But basically, the Bears were okay offensively, nothing great. You've pointed out multiple times today they didn't score 20 points once again under Matt Nagy. The defense was okay, but again, when we look at the Lions, their offense sucks. So what can you really take from this game? And a lot of the conversation about the Chicago Bears in the last couple of weeks have been about Coach Matt Nagy and whether or not he will be fired at the end of the year, or as erroneous reports suggested, he'd be fired the moment the game on Thursday ended, which was completely not true. So Matt Nagy is still the head coach. I saw the media schedule sent out by the Bears. Mm-hmm. They have Matt Nagy on the media schedule for next week. He's speaking Monday and Wednesday and Friday like he usually does next week. So he's the head coach, but the conversation is about what the Bears should do in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you read into it, it's more than likely that he's going to get fired at the end of the season, unless they go on some crazy tear. Justin Fields comes back from the cracked ribs and plays lights out, and they're lighting it up, and they're scoring 35-40 a game, right? But what are the odds of that happening? They've barely scored over 20 points. I think, like, I was trying to do the quick math. It looks like 3 or 4 games this year where they've scored over 20 points. You can't do that. You can't win in the NFL and not score more than 20 points on a consistent basis. And that's what he was brought here to do. Yesterday was meaningless to me. It might as well have been a preseason game. Andy Dalton wins a game against the Lions. Like, be more meaningless on the schedule than that game. You're not developing your young quarterback. It doesn't mean anything for the playoffs because you're already out of it. Even if you get back to 500 or over 500, you're out of it. We're not even in the cool in the hunt graphics anymore. Even after the win, we're not in the cool in the hunt graphics. How am I supposed to get my tweets off if we're not in the cool in the hunt graphics?
Give it time. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
They'll be in the hunt.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
They're going to lose to the Cardinals. They're going to lose to the Packers.
Long season.
Long season.
Have
what?
You seen the rest of the NFC? The NFC stinks.
They're about to be 4-9. They're about to be 4-10 real quick before they get back to and play Seattle. That might even be a loss, too. Who's the better quarterback on the field that day?
In what game?
In Seattle.
Oh, it's Russell Wilson.
Okay, who's the better coach?
Pete Carroll.
Okay, so 4-11 real quick.
All
okay?
Right. It's possible. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm not suggesting that they're going to win these football games. I'm just saying, look at the rest of the NFC. You have Washington, Atlanta, the Saints yesterday. You watched the Saints game last night. They weren't any good.
Yeah, but I don't look at their schedules
Giants,
and see
the Seahawks,
four
the
more
Lions.
Losses coming.
Yeah, but the point is the NFC is not that great. All they had to do is get to 500 and they'd be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they had to do this season. They can't even do that. Friday night calls, all calls welcome. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. Sean on I-55. Sean, you're on ESPN 1000. All calls welcome.
Adam and Mr. Black, it's good to talk to you gentlemen again. I was your former promo guy. I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
What's up, Sean? How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. I hope you guys did a great Thanksgiving. And Mr. Black, you're very wrong. I very much appreciate these Brooks Koepka.
Oh, no, you don't.
Speaking of which,
I do.
Speaking of which,
baloney.
Speaking of which, guess what? He rage quit.
Wait. Bryson quit?
I have a final here on my scorecard. They played 10 holes.
Oh, my Lord.
And Koepka won 4 of them, so it's over. He was up 4. He was 4 up with 2 holes left. And they call. I don't know why they called it. I don't have a reason here. I'm looking at Twitter. I'm trying to find something. If someone watching could either tweet us or call us in and let us know. But I will tell you that Brooks Koepka has defeated Bryson DeChambeau. He won 4-0 because Bryson didn't even win a hole. And Bryson said, in my mind, until I find out different, Bryson stormed off the golf course and said, no, thank you. I'm done with this.
It's probably because his bum hurt. But we have a terrible Bears team. Nagy deserves to be fired. He should have been fired 2 years ago. That's obvious. But Brooks, I couldn't believe they were giving you Brooks at even money today. That was insane.
Oh,
insane.
I should have bet
so
that.
So thank you for the updates, Adam. I hope your Tide do very well.
Thank you.
And how do you guys feel about Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it looks kind of like Michigan State did.
I hope Michigan can keep it close at least to the fourth quarter. I don't want to see Ohio State run away with this in the first half and just turn it 9-2. I want to see a classic.
I
want to see a good matchup.
A classic would be great.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's going to happen because Harbaugh has proven nothing except that he loses against the opponents that the AD wants him to beat, and I'm very surprised he still has a job, even though I like the gentleman very much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Good call, Sean. Appreciate it. I mean, I also think about this. He took a pay cut coming into this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's still there, but he also is making less because they had an agreement that things weren't going the right way. But listen, are we done with this now?
We're done. Until I find out what happened, yeah. Until I find out how they won or how this ended.
Shout out to Bryson DeChambeau, though, because you thought of this bit that we would do throughout the show, and the dude couldn't even last through the entire show.
We started at 3:30. He couldn't go the whole show. We were going to do the whole, like, it probably would have taken the whole show to get through 12.
Yeah, but he quit.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Or lost, based on the amount of holes that he couldn't make up.
Yeah, but don't you just finish?
No.
Like, if I'm having a bad golf day, I don't just stop playing.
I wouldn't. I would continue on with the golf.
You keep playing. You're out there. Don't you play golf professionally? Is this what you enjoy doing?
One would think. Mike in Glendale Heights. Mike, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, hi, guys. Happy holidays. I was just wondering, with all the injuries mounting on the Packers, their offensive line, they lost Elgton Jenkins for the whole year. Now he's pro bowler at any position on that line. Do you think they can stay in the mix for the NFC? I still think they can because you guys – I kind of agree with you. The NFC's kind of topsy-turvy. I still fear Tampa with Brady, and once they get their offense straightened out, I think it's going to be them too. Do you feel the same way, or is there another team?
Yeah, good call, Mike. You know, with the Packers, I think that they are in that conversation to win the NFC. Coming into the season, I thought they would be the team out of the NFC getting to the Super Bowl. I think Arizona is really good.
The Rams.
Mike mentioned Tampa Bay, the Rams. Last night, the Cowboys... They lose that football game, but I think the Cowboys are still a very good football team. Can the Rams figure it out? Like, what's wrong with the Rams?
I don't know. They've lost 2 in a row now. They lost to the Titans 28-16. They lost to the 49ers 31-10. They've got that big game against the Packers in Green Bay on Sunday afternoon, and then they play the Jaguars, so that should be a win for them. But then, again, you've got the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Ravens, the 49ers again. Like, it is not an easy schedule for the Rams the rest of the
way. All calls welcome. Friday night calls with Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. The phone number is 312-332-3776. Tony in New Jersey. Tony, you're on ESPN 1000,
Tony.
Listening on the ESPN Chicago app.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Taking my call. I know it's not a popular thing to go back in past and revisit, but what about Lovie Smith? He was a pretty good coach. Had a couple of playoff appearances, one Super Bowl appearance. Last season was 10-6, and at one year, I forgot the year, but he had one of the top five offenses.
No, I mean, listen, I love Lovie Smith. I thought he was a great coach here. He's a good dude. But I don't think that the ownership would do that.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, listen, they have had no success, virtually no success, since Lovie was here.
Yeah.
I know you can toss out the, they went to the playoffs 2018. They had that good team, right, in Nagy's first season. You can give that credit to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I think, though, it was a mistake moving on from Lovie, even though we were all sick of Lovie at the time. We all wanted something more.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, like, think about the expectations of the franchise. The reason that we didn't think Lovie was good enough is because he wasn't winning enough.
Yeah.
And now we just want a team to be somewhat competitive,
mm-hmm.
a 500 team. Lovie's teams were always in that conversation. They just didn't win the games that were necessary to get the team to multiple Super Bowls and to win a Super Bowl. He got to one, but that was that.
Yeah.
And so when the Bears made that change, the thought was that they were going to get someone to have the Bears in competition for Super Bowls each and every season. It just has not been the case. I don't think it's likely that they would go back to Lovie Smith.
No, I don't think so either. I think that ownership and him have parted ways, and that's kind of you don't bring him back. I don't think he would want to either.
Travis in Arkansas, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Travis?
What's going on, fellas? I called y'all a couple times before when I was in Missouri, so I just keep moving south.
Nice.
But, yeah, I called you on your own, your 6-8 show. Man, it's just 2 points. I just want to piggyback off of that Lovie Smith call. You know, if y'all remember that, like, man, they actually should have won the Super Bowl if they would have just ran with Thomas Jones in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That was just really poor coaching on that. And at the time, we were all so sick of Lovie, and now we would just love it to have a Lovie team, which shows you the sad state of the Bears that we're in today. And my other point, you know, with this with Andy Dalton's and the Bears game yesterday, you know, Dan Campbell had to do his best Matt Nagy impression, you know, with like the two timeouts in a row. Like any NFL coach should know you can't do that. They had a bunch of times where they were like, you know, 3rd and 35 because they had like 3 false starts and a holding penalty in a row, which just, it was almost like watching our team. They're the only team that we probably would have beat yesterday. And then my last point with Andy Dalton, you know, he looked okay. You know, his stat line, 317, yep, that was good yardage. But he should have had 2 red zone picks if that other guy wouldn't have dropped it in the first quarter. And then I couldn't help but think that Artie Burns pulled out his inner Kinderville Door impression like the first drive of the game. That just killed us.
Good call, Travis. Call again, all right, man?
All right, brothers. Have a good holiday.
You too. That's Travis in Arkansas. It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. All calls welcome. Friday night calls, 312-332-3776. You see who's on the board, Abdallah?
Yeah, I see him.
Oh, no. Here we go.
He's going to yell at me about Metallica again.
Yeah, he might. Coming up next, all calls welcome.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Blackin' Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. On Friday nights at 6, I'm Black and Abdallah. We usually enjoy the conversation, the phone calls from you at 312-332-3776. That's why we call it Friday Night Calls. All calls welcome. So we started a little early tonight since we're done with the show here at 6 today.
Yeah.
And Black and Abdallah are filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. So it's all calls welcome, 5 o'clock hour. It's a party. 312-332-3776.
Here he is.
All right.
Can't stop Mitchell.
Mitchell in Des Plaines. You're on ESPN 1000. All calls welcome.
Hey there, Team Gemini. Team Sagittarius. I just wanted to open up this segment with Team Sag with regards to Metallica. Look, man, music is subjective. Okay? I think it's great that they have an amazing amount of longevity in the industry. I mean, I realized that when you played that song on Tuesday, that goes back to the first album, I believe, in 84, I thought, because I haven't done a lot of research on Metallica, that they really hit their zenith, you know, in 86. Okay, so it was kind of neat to hear that cut. It's not my cup of tea, okay, but I do like the fact that they, and I said this in the beginning or last week, is that I do appreciate the longevity, which is hard to do in any industry. So, you know, given that, music's subjective, take it what you want. Do you think, Team Sagittarius, that if Dave Mustaine stayed with Metallica and didn't form Megadeth, do you think they would be as big as they are? Please.
Probably not.
Okay, why is that?
Because I don't think that they would have gone to Bob Rock and made to make the Black Album.
Well, thrash metal, they kind of identified that genre. It started to splinter off.
Yeah, but Megadeth's not popular though.
Right, but they never competed with them like on that commercial level.
Yeah.
So as the branding goes over time, obviously Metallica wins that route. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Good, I thought it was a great song, and you know, more power to you. But guys, I want to get serious here for a second. You know, this whole thing of the drama of this journalism of lack of integrity. It finds out today that this guy, the former Pulitzer, he says that he was bamboozled. So I didn't realize that the Chicago Bears were utilizing counterintelligence and CIA tactics to get the point across, because that's what happened, folks. We have what I call a red herring. And for those that don't know what that is, it's a deflection. So somebody, okay, listen closely, folks. Somebody had the moan and the means, the motive and the means to be what I call the primary beneficiary of this story. Because the Chicago Bears know how to manipulate national and local news, or I should say media and journalism with ease and effort. They've done it for decades. So somebody on the inside, okay, up in Lake Forest, basically connects with this guy, okay, who's obviously a fringe writer, but again, has some credits, right? And he talks today that he was bamboozled by his source. So two things fit me right at the same time, folks. I'm asking you, critical thinkers, Team Gemini, deep down inside, do you think this is a manufactured lie? Please.
Your thoughts?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Team Sagittarius. Yeah. Deep down inside, do you think that over the next 2 weeks, we will find out the true ruse of this story and what comes out of it? Please.
No.
Okay. That's a very good point. I think deep down inside, folks, you have had the wool pulled over your eyes. Okay. And let me tell you something. It's going to take literally, okay, on December 2nd, okay, when the astrological, what I call alignment, is in what I call in alignment, okay, you're going to be revealed who is the sin and the sinners of this story. Because, folks, it gets a lot worse, okay? This whole thing, what you think, is a total ruse. And who you think are the wrong, are the players that have done you bad, it's the opposite. So I want you to go back and do your critical thinking skills, folks, because the bottom line is that this story was a ruse.
Boom.
And enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Mitchell. Have a great weekend, my friend.
We'll see you, Gemini. Team Sagittarius. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, Mitchell. That's Mitchell and Des Plaines. You know what's funny is as Mitchell was talking there, I looked up. Did you know that there's a Conkel column from today? That's what it's titled, Conkel column. And
couldn't you just call it the Conklem?
It's titled, Did I Get Bamboozled on the Bears, or Did Something Change? I'm telling you, man, this is something. All right. You read through the article. He says, a trusted source in position to know confidently told me Nagy would not be the head coach after Thursday's game. Was that right at the time? Did something change? I don't know. What I do know is that I will continue to rely on a multitude of trusted, well-placed sources to expose corruption, right, wrongs, and hold public officials accountable. Readers deserve no less. That's in this. I'm not kidding. This is the report that everyone's going with.
I have nothing to say. I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't... Here's the point. Here's the point, right?
You're wrong, dude.
But again, how many times is like Nightingale wrong? And how many times are these dudes just wrong about things?
It doesn't matter.
No, but it's a 24-hour news cycle. Just let it go. Like, nobody, once they beat the Lions, nobody cared. Like, it was over. You don't need to have a little follow-up column.
Yeah, this is a follow-up. Over more than 20 years of covering every aspect of Chicago, from government and courts to neighborhoods and sports, I've developed reporting relationships with a multitude of trusted sources. Okay. He uses multitude of trusted sources twice in the column, in the Conkle column, who have provided tips, details, and documents that expose corruption, righted wrongs, and held public officials accountable. He basically copied a paragraph earlier in the column, because I read you the end of the column. He then says, if my source fed me bad information about Nagy, I should have done better.
Yeah, the Conklin.
Much in a way, the Bears should have done better. This is his column. This is up there right now.
I don't care.
What are we doing?
Is he fired? Is Nagy fired?
He's not. He's still that coach.
Then stop.
But the readers deserve no less.
All right. Start a Substack, then. Give me a Substack.
Adam in Oak Lawn. Adam, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
What's up?
I'm good, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I just want to get you guys' opinion on something. Dude, where do the Bears go from here? Should they start rebuilding around Fields? Like, just keep, you know, some of the pieces that they have. Like, rebuild around Roquan Smith. Rebuild around Justin Fields. You know, keep maybe Herbert or some of the other pieces that they have. Like, who should we really retain on the Bears other than those certain pieces? Do you guys feel like right now in the off season we should just, you know, kind of, you know, try to get rid of Khalil Mack, try to get something worth for him, or whatever other pieces such as Allen Robinson? I'll go ahead. I'll hang up and I'll listen. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously going to build around Fields. Mooney's a nice piece. You've got Roquan Smith under contract. Jalen Johnson's a good player. Robert Quinn's under contract. The problem is, with Khalil Mack's contract, in order to trade him or cut him, like, it costs way too much. So you're not going to. But you're going to get out from under Akeem Hicks' contract. You know, a couple of the other defensive players. You're stuck with Eddie Jackson, no matter how much guys. How about this? Eddie Jackson doesn't play. Y'all still mad that Eddie Jackson's not out there?
He was out there.
No, I know he was out there. They play. He's fine. Like, he's not that bad. Like, people just don't like him because he's missed like four tackles. Like, that's the issue. It's magnified when he's not out there. And Tease Tabor has to be out there, a dude that no one's heard of. Then that's a problem. So he's better than the replacement. He's above replacement. But yeah, Jimmy Graham shouldn't be around anymore. Nick Foles won't be around. Andy Dalton won't be around. So you're going to have some money to spend. You don't have your first round draft pick, but you probably need to recoup that. The problem is no one's giving you a first round pick for a running back. No one's giving you a first round pick and all that money for Khalil Mack. So I don't think that there's a way that they get a high first-round pick or even they might not even be able to recoup a first-round pick. So they should be able to draft some guys later and then also spend some of the money in free agent. It's a problem, but they'll figure it out, I think.
Blocking up dollars.
I just don't trust Pacer to solve it.
In for Waddle and Sylvie, taking your calls. All calls welcome. Friday night calls. Mike on the north side. Mike, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. This is really irritating, this. He's saying, I guess he's bamboozled or whatever he's trying to say. This is somebody who sent a report that rocked the NFL, went everywhere. It's harmed the Bears because now how do you put that genie back in the bottle? It makes them look – I know they don't look great to begin with, but, you know, is this going to be the deciding factor of losing a coaching candidate? Do they think there's dissension, other things? One thing you could always say about the Bears where there are really no leaks like this, there's no way – let me give you an example. Let's say that you thought something was happening at the station. You guys know who your sources are. You know who you can trust. Okay? This is one of the most ridiculous stories I've ever seen, where this guy came out so aggressively, so definitively, and then he waits till a dead day, and then he tries to put the shade on the rest of us. We deserve this, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys agree this should have a little more legs? This guy has to be held more accountable.
Well, it's journalism, right, Mike? So, like, I would say to hold him accountable, I would imagine those who believe the way that you do and that I do, I just won't take his stuff seriously going forward. Like, that's how you hold someone accountable, like, is that you just don't go back to that source again.
Like, Nightingale gets stuff wrong, Bob Nightingale gets stuff wrong, and now people, like, go with the opposite of what he says.
Mike, so. I think that's a perfect example. Bleck and Abdallah, we're here, and when we see things, and we see that Jeff Passan reports it, we bring it to our listeners' attention because we think it's a credible source. When Bob Nightingale does it, me and Abdallah look at each other and we say, all right, we'll wait for someone else to report it, and then we'll talk about it. You know what I mean?
One other quick question, and you're making a great point. I guess what I'm saying is that, for instance, when Waddle and Sylvia, you guys, I think the station did a good job. Waddle said, and Sylvia, look, some of this doesn't seem like it would make sense for a lot of reasons. I won't give names, but it's across town, something else was reporting it like it was breaking news. It was done very, in my opinion, very shoddy, just very bad. I'll put it that way. The standards were low. Mm-hmm. With that said, once this has already been done, it's one thing for commentators. And, you know, even Waddle and Sylvie and you guys, you'll say, hey, here's something we might have seen a player say or heard, but let's put it in context. This guy should have, something should occur. I'm not saying he should potentially get fired. But there should be some suspension. There should be something. The Bears have been harmed by this. And as an organization, as a business, this is not good for us as Bears fans, obviously, but it's also not good for everyone involved. So I agree. It's not life or death. I'm not saying that. You guys are completely right perspective, but something more should be done. There has to be a little more recompense for what's happened, I think. But I do, guys, I appreciate what you guys said about we don't have to listen to him anymore, but I didn't know who he was to begin with, so there's no harm to him.
Yeah, Mike, and, you know, like, the way I thought about it, I wasn't here on Monday or Tuesday, but the way I kept saying to myself is, like, I don't get why there's not more skepticism in this. Because you go to the article that he posted, it was, like, 200 words. Like, there was nothing to it. And then he was on with Cap and Jay Hood, and I thought they asked good questions, but he didn't have any information to back up what he was saying. Like, well, it seemed very flimsy, so I just don't understand why more skepticism wasn't kind of taken towards this report.
And to be fair, Waddle was saying on the air that according to his sources, it was not true. That Nagy was not told.
We were strong on this, I think. And also, look, and I'm not just bagging on the other station. I mean, I'm not saying everyone there is bad. They're not. But the point is that I had friends texting me locally and then around the country as I was in meetings, basically saying to me, I'm just a fan, you know, I'm not an executive, but saying to me, this is a done deal. It's been done. It's been reported as 100% breaking ticker talk news, where some of them, I said to them afterwards, I think you were listening to the wrong station then. Because when I came on and I went back a little bit in the app, there was, like you said, there's a little more skepticism. But like, I agree with you. I do think that when he came on, he subtly, this is why I think he deserves to get some suspension. He kind of came on and didn't sound exactly like what he wrote. He knew what he was writing was big. He was trying to bootstrap himself, and he needs more than hey, this is a journalism apology kind of cute writing column. He needs a little bit more because he's hurt people. He's hurt the organization, I think, and I don't know how they walk it back. Eventually, hopefully, the truth comes out. The Bears aren't perfect anyway. We all know that. But this was something that at least you could say had not been done before, and it's not right. So. Thanks for hearing me out.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And my original thought, Abdallah, was that we know the major players that break news. Mm-hmm. Nationally, we know the guys. Schefter, Rappaport, Breer, Jay Glazer, Jeremy Fowler, to an extent, at ESPN. We know the major players in town. Dan Pompey, Brad Biggs, Dan Weider, Jeff Dickerson, Jason Leisure. We know the people who have the connections that then break the news that then we react to.
Yeah.
And, like, no one touched this.
No.
Like, shouldn't that send a red flag up immediately?
Well, and then at night, we got the conflicting reports from every other person out there that
of
was like,
things going on,
was
but
like,
not quite
they met
that,
with the team and they said, don't worry about it. And
all calls welcome. Friday night calls. Bleck and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie. We'll be back.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Bleck Mike Abdallah filling in for Waddle
See,
and
this
Sylvie
is exactly
today.
What we're talking
Just
about.
Just forget it.
No,
it's not
no,
real.
This is exactly what we're talking
Don't
about.
Don't give it the light of day. Don't. I'm gonna look it up too. It's just like, is that okay? All right. That's not even that's a website. LSUOdyssey.com. Is that what you're suggesting
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No just thanks. Remember who said it first.
Yeah. Okay.
Just remember.
All right. Yeah. Black and Abdallah, we are here in for Waddle and Sylvie.
I mean,
until 6 o'clock here on ESPN 1000.
That'd be quite the move.
Yeah. Sure. It would. But again, we're not going to report things that we don't. Respect the sources. When Brett McMurphy or Bruce Feldman mm-hmm. give us the heads up on one Lincoln Riley and where he's deciding to go or stay, whether he stays with the Sooners, then we'll report.
But see, that's the point,
that's
is
the
that
point.
Down in the cornfields of Oklahoma, okay, where the wind comes whistling down the plains, and in the bayou of LSU, all right?
Sure.
That's where that grassroots reporting comes in handy.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's where we're trying to hold officials accountable.
Send Conkle to go do
I need
a, do
I
a
need
column
a Conklem.
On, right?
I need a Conklem quick.
All right. It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN.
You don't want a
Chicago
Conklem?
App. No, I don't. I don't, to be honest. I want to talk to you about this. Eric brought this to our attention the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting. We are dog people. Black and Abdallah, we are the dog show on ESPN 1000.
Dog show! Dog show!
Dog show! Little dogs, bossy dogs.
Bossy dogs and quiet dogs.
Dog show!
And Eric pointed this out. It was a CNN report from last week. Maybe you're out shopping for the holidays. You need a cool toy, a cool, unique thing for your pet, or maybe for an owner of a pet. Take a listen to the CNN report.
When you pick up the phone and say,
hello,
you don't expect this from the other side.
Hello, yes, this is Dog.
Cartoon becomes semi-reality as animal tech researchers at universities in Scotland and Finland experiment with dog phone. No, it doesn't look anything like a human phone.
It's a softball with a technology device on the inside of it.
Actually, buried inside a tennis ball within the ball. When Ileana Hersky Douglas's dog, Zach, moved the ball, it triggered the nearby Dog Height laptop to ring. Zach's owner answered the call, and the two would end up face-to-face with audio and video if he didn't ignore her. During a 16-day experiment, Zach the lab called often.
It was about 5 times a day.
And when he didn't call,
he wouldn't ring me through the day, and I'd be thinking, oh, he usually rings me at this time.
Commercial companies like Pet Chats have tried combining remotely operated treat dispensers with a paw call that sends the owner a text alert. But no one really knows if pets are intentionally calling their owners.
Some days he would sort of lean on the ball and then he would ring me from this, either with his butt or with his shoulder.
Maybe this is all just one big doggy butt dial. After all, dogs like to say hello from behind. Ginny Mose.
The hell does
CNN,
that mean?
New York.
Like wagging the tail.
Oh, okay.
It's a CNN report right there. A new toy for a dog that's a mm-hmm. tennis ball. That when they interact with it, it will call you.
Mm-hmm.
So as a dog person, would you want the ability for your dog Penny to be able to call you at any time?
Ugh. No. She'd be dialing me. I almost said a technical term for a dog that would have gotten me, that might have gotten me in trouble.
Probably.
But I probably could have argued my way out of it.
Well, you're on an island on that one.
Yeah, but she'd be calling me all the time. Come home. Where's chicken? I want chicken. Because we feed her chicken.
Chicken.
I want a treat. Give me a cookie. I want rub my belly. She'd be asking, so I want to go on a walk or a hop, as we call it, because she doesn't walk. She hops because she only has 3 legs. She'd be blowing me up all the time. I don't want that. No. I'm doing my business. You're doing your at-home business.
You worry about yourself at home.
You worry about what you're doing over there.
See, I feel like Gus the Golden Doodle, my dog, I feel like if he had the ability to call, he would never call me. He would call my wife.
Yeah.
He would call Autumn all of the time. He would call her every 5 minutes to just check in. Because he would just be interested in what she was doing.
What you doing? When are you coming home? You coming home
when
now?
You coming home now?
How about now?
How about now?
When
are you home?
I'm bored.
Come home.
I'm bored.
I miss you, Mom.
I'm bored.
When will you be home?
I'm bored.
I miss you.
I'm super bored.
Can I have a treat?
I'm super bored.
I mean, do dog owners want that? The ability for their dog to call? Because I was thinking of this as well. Say you get it for your dog. Your dog never calls, like the one lady in the clip on the recorded report there from CNN. What if the dog just never calls because they're not interested in talking to you?
Yeah.
What if they just don't really like you? And then you get it, and then you feel worse because your dog never takes the time to call.
Like, I can see my dog when we're not at home. Like, we have essentially a nanny cam on our dog when we're not home because our dog has had health problems and, like, we want to keep an eye on her and that kind of stuff. And so, like, I know she's bored as hell sitting at home. She's just sitting on her bed, and I'll look at her again, and she'll be like, just like waiting for one of us to come home. So no, I don't need her calling me 20 times a day, being like, when are you coming home? Are you coming home now? I would love for you to come home. Yeah. And now I'm getting crap for having a nanny cam for my dog in the Twitch chat.
Well, I mean, as you should.
It's why. My dog has health problems. Do you want...
No, I don't... I'm just saying, I'll just move along.
No, say it.
No, you don't need it.
I need it.
No, you don't.
Why not? It's also security for when we're gone.
Okay, well, that's different.
Like, I use it as security. Like, I can check in on my household.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people do that now. The Ring cameras, and mine all over.
Mine is on my dog.
All right, well, that's fine.
Yeah. You don't want to know what your dog's up to during the day?
I figured out, in the last week and a half, we've found situations where, like, he is having way too much fun without us. Like, the bed was made, and the other day I came home, the bed was completely unmade, and, like, in a ball. Like, he was like, having a blast on the bed.
Messing with it, yeah.
I think he doesn't care. He's just having a day. He doesn't need us.
Yeah, well, this, I want to make sure, one, no one's breaking into my apartment, and also, two, she's not dead.
Well, yes.
She's had problems in the past.
All right, that's different. That's different. Half the time you just look, she's on her bed. Okay, yeah. You look 20 minutes later, she's on her bed.
Yeah. Well, I don't look every 20 minutes. It's like once a day. I don't look every 20 minutes. My wife looks every 20 minutes.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Check out Black and Abdallah tomorrow. Chicago's College Tailgate Saturday is in the fall at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk some college football. We'll get you set for the games that kick off at 11, and then we'll keep our eyes on those games throughout the show, and we'll talk about the rest of the day rivalry weekend in college football. One of the best weekends of all the college football seasons. The regular season comes to an end in the next 2 weeks.
It's so sad, man.
And then we look forward to the bowl season, the college football playoff. Can't wait.
It's so sad.
Thank you to Eric Ostrowski for producing today's show. And remember to download the Black and Abdallah podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Each night on Black and Abdallah at around 6:50, we like to bring to you the song of the night since we're in for Waddle and Sylvie today. How about this? A little bonus. Waddle and Sylvie edition of the song of the night.
I wanna rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
Song of the Night is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, and Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. The song of the night tonight, Milli Vanilli, Blame It on the Rain from 1989. It's your song of the night with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.
This is definitely one that will be in my head forever. This is brutal, yeah.
I said this 5 hours ago.
This is really bad. I told you to pick a different one.
I told you this song was bad.
You didn't want to pick another song, though. I still know it, though. We should have pulled an audible. Once the news came down that Stephen Sondheim died, rest in peace, Stephen Sondheim. You were like, so? And I was like, what do you mean, so?
Don't make me seem callous. I didn't say
you
so.
You were callous. It's so Stephen Sondheim.
Why did we settle on this song tonight?
You said that it was because what show came out today.
All right, I got you. Yeah. November 26, 1989, America's Funniest Home Videos debuted as a special on ABC.
We should have just done the theme song to America's Funniest Home Videos.
The series began then regularly in 1990 and was still running, but the initial debut special was November 26, 1989 with Bob Saget.
I loved that show.
And the connection to Milli Vanilli is this song was number two on the charts. We've already done the number one song at this exact time.
Yeah. So we did this. This is not the song they got busted lip syncing for. That's Girl, You Know It's True. Just so people are aware.
Give me that story.
They got busted lip syncing. They were at a show and they got busted lip syncing and people found out that they weren't actually singing their songs. They had to give their Grammy back.
Yeah, but like, who sings live anymore?
No, they weren't singing at all. They don't sing.
It's not their song.
This is not them.
Like, even on the record?
They're just two dudes that are lip-syncing everything and dancing. I feel like this is actually one of the moves from the video. Yeah, they didn't sing.
So they were just, like, placeholders.
Yeah.
Huh. I never knew it was that big of a deal because I was like, who sings? Like, none of these people perform live.
No.
You watch all these shows and they're lip-syncing.
No.
All right.
Yeah. And they had two real singers. And they were not the two guys that they put out there.
Really?
Yeah. But back to America's Funniest Home Videos. That was appointment television when I was a kid. Like, had to be there to watch it live to make sure you saw it. Because, like, there were no reruns. And
that
like,
was a show,
it's
man.
Not like YouTube where people just send you videos and stuff. Like, you had to watch that dude get hit in the nuts, like, over and over again.
People love TikTok. This was the original TikTok.
Because remember, in the middle, they would always have that, like, montage segment?
Yeah.
And it would be like boom, be like, boom, your boom, dog boom, videos. Boom. And it was, like, all the dog videos. And then they'd have the people that were sitting in the audience that would win. And then What's-His-Face tried to, like, host it again. Now, doesn't the dude, what's his face?
Bob Saget?
No. The dude from Fresh Prince. Carlton. Doesn't he host the new one?
Oh, does he?
I think so.
I don't know. Milli Vanilli, Blame It on the Rain. It's your song of the night.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
The Odds Couple is next with Carmen and Mike North. They will join you and talk gambling. Coming up next, Bleck and Abdullah will be back tomorrow at 11 to talk college football. Talk to you then.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.